You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's turn our attention directly to the marketplace on this 15th day of October. Talk about what happened in Chicago at the CME Group with Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon to you, Todd.
I suspect you have been talking to clientele across the Midwest. Are there places, and I suppose these will be out west as opposed to in the eastern part of the Corn Belt, that are moving today, and are they soggy and happy, or are they just soggy and moving?
What was that word you asked? Happy? No, the majority are not very happy. It's because they've been slowed down and they realize, you know, that they just have such a huge crop to deal with. Especially, you know, the bean, the urgency is more in beans right at the moment than it is anything else to try and get it in out of the field. And, of course, that and you combo it with the market going a great deal higher and then today ending lower, none of that really makes anybody extremely happy when you come right down to it.
We hear a lot about hedge funds in the marketplace the last couple of days, fund movement and the push higher. Can you tell me more about that recent market action the last few days and what it really means and how you view it?
Well, I view it as money moving more than anything else. And then this afternoon they did announce that a large hedge fund is going to be closing and that at the end of the month and that they've been exiting a lot of their positions, which, you know, Todd, it really makes sense when you look at the board because when we think of a position, we think of it as, you know, either selling a contract to corn or buying a contract to beans or doing something like that. When you have a fund position, it can be made up of many, many different things. It can be short corn, long cattle, long the dollar, short wheat, long crude oil. And so it's a multitude of things. And when you start to see the market react in a way that doesn't make sense, in other words, one product is going down that normally would support a higher level and a different product, let's say in the feeder cattle, in the live cattle, and they're all going down, you realize that it has to be money movement. And so, you know, anytime you have something going on like that, it throws a monkey wrench into everything. To me, I looked at the rallies that we had this week and said, you know, these are great opportunities to sell and take advantage of it because they definitely are not a reflection of the real market, at least not at this point in time yet.
Hey, speaking of reflections of the markets, I want to come out of the futures in Chicago and move to New York, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 302 points today. Can you tell me a good reason why that might happen?
Well, you know, it actually was down 400 at one point in trading, depending upon where you're looking at. But I think that it's very much related to Ebola and the second, you know, the second nurse that's been infected now. It has the investors pretty doggone nervous and just plain afraid that this could become bigger than what we're being told. And so I think until things settle down there, we're going to see a lot of sloppy movement back and forth. You know, some confidence, then no confidence. And I think it's also related to a very soft inflation number that came out of China. You know, this follows up an extremely soft inflation number coming out of the Eurozone. So, you know, you take that, you couple it with the fact that the dollar is down today. And I think that is some hedge fund movement, too, that they were long the dollar. But you hedge that, you know, you put that together with the dollar rising, and you have to be very concerned about the world economies. And, you know, some of our numbers didn't come in so great today either. So I think it's just a negative attitude at the moment.
Let's see. What else should we go through? Crude oil. OPEC is pushing production higher. Does that surprise you?
They are, you know, and there's some speculation, and it can only be speculation because you can't find anybody who's going to say it out loud, but that they're possibly doing this to try and hurt the terrorist countries, basically, because so many of them derive immense amounts of income coming out of the crude situation. And so we'll see once, you know, it's after holding that, you know, $95 to $100 level for such a long time to actually see 80 on the board at one point in time is kind of interesting. But, you know, because crude, I think we talked about this last week, Todd, because crude is priced in U.S. dollars everywhere in the world. As the dollar goes higher, crude prices go higher, and the anticipation that there'll be less demand is certainly driving some of this, too.
And finally, and we just have just a bit of time left, turn your attention not to the soybean crop here in the United States, because you've taken that up, but the impact in South America and the beginning of their planting season. They've not had the best of starts.
No, they actually got off to a really great early start, you know, and now it's slowed down. Some areas are too wet, some areas are too dry, you know, and so when you look at Mato Grosso, which produces about 30% of all of Brazil's beans, and then Paraná, which produces 20, that's 50% of the beans, and they basically need some rain at the moment. They're about 68% planted on beans, 50 to 55% planted on full-season corn. They're only about 1% behind is all they are at the moment. But you look at Argentina, you know, Argentina's 1 to 2% planted. That's very normal for this time of year, 50% corn planted probably by the end of the month. But the bigger issue, you know, you talked about beans, is that 790 million bushels of beans that's sitting down there in Argentina. You know, they have a 35% export tax, and it's the largest generator for income for the country itself. And so, you know, the government's been making an awful lot of noise about trying to force these guys to sell it. So I just put a pencil to it this morning at 962 and a half for beans. That 35% represents 2.6 billion tax dollars. Now, they're talking about a couple different ways they think they can get the farmer to sell. Maybe they'll lower the tax a little bit, and maybe he'll sell that, or they would like to establish a government warehouse situation. Well, you don't build something on you know, on the river in 2 minutes or anything like that. So the bigger talk now is that they may come in and nationalize a company, which, you know, anybody who's doing business down there, I don't care if it's Cargill, ADM, or any of them, know that this is a possibility. They, you know, it's unlikely they probably do one of the big multinationals, but you never know. If they're desperate enough, they may. The saddest part about the whole thing is Argentina is trying to imply that all of their economic problems are because the farmer won't sell beans.